So let's review. We had said on the previous daf that if a partnership is chayiv in ma'aser behema, by definition, it would be exempt from having to pay a kalban. Rav Yirmiyah adds to this that, in fact, there can be a situation where they would be chayiv in both or exempt from both. He explains, if they did not divide up the animals, but did divide the other possessions, then they would be chayiv in both ma'aser behema and in the kalban. They would be chayiv in ma'aser behema as the animals are still considered one estate of the deceased, and so this fulfills Ashiyilach. They are chayiv in the kalban as they are no different than any other partners who are chayiv in the kalban. And if they separated the animals and then rejoined as partners via the animals, but did not yet divide the remainder of the Yerusha, then they are not yet considered proper partners and are therefore potter from paying the kalban if they paid together, and are also exempt from Ma'aser Behema as the animals belong to more than one person. Ramona qualifies this, that the case where they would be chayiv in both is only true if the animals do not comprise the majority of the Yerusha. However, if the animals do comprise the majority of the Yerusha, then even if they divide up the rest of the Yerusha, since this is the Raiv, it is still considered as belonging to the estate, and thus the brothers would be potter from a kalban. The Gemara now questions what the kalban money was used for, and then brings five opinions to answer. Rav Meir, who holds that the kalban is a Torah directive, holds that it is designated for the same purpose as the machzah shekel itself, namely to fund the purchase of public sacrifices such as tamidim and musafim. Rabbi Leza holds that it is used to purchase voluntary public sacrifices which are brought when the mizbeach is not otherwise in use. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri holds that it is used to purchase gold tiles which were used to adorn the kachet kachem. Benazi holds that they were given as payment to the money changers who would change the shekels into half shekel coins. And some say that these funds were used to pay the transportation fees of those handling the coins to bring them all to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. Hanulach Perek Echad Ba'adr. We now begin Perek Beis, Mitzarfim Shkalim. The Mishnah begins, Mitzarfim Shkalim L'Darkoinus M'Masa HaDerech. One is allowed to change many half a shekel coins for Darkoinut, which were gold coins that were in use at the time, in order to ease the transport of all the coins to Yerushalayim. Just as they were shofar, tzedakah boxes shaped as a shofar, which were narrow at the opening and wider further down, situated in the Beis HaMikdash, so too these tzedakah boxes were placed in all cities outside of Yerushalayim as well. B'nei ha'ir sh'sholchu es shekleim v'nignivu avdu. People living in cities who were sent their half a shekel coins with a shaliach, and the messenger lost their coins along the way. If the Trumas HaLishka was already performed in the Beis HaMikdash, then the Shlichim must give an oath to the Gizbarim that the Shkalim were lost or stolen, and they are exempt from liability. Since the Trumas HaLishka was already performed, it is considered as if the coins were already in the Rishus of the Beis HaMikdash. If the Trumas HaMishka was not performed yet, then the Shlichim give an oath to the people that sent them, and they must give another Machzah Shekel. Nimtzu o Yechzirim HaGenavim, if the coins were subsequently found or returned by the thieves, both Shkalim go to the Beis HaMikdash, and they cannot be saved for these people for the following year. The Gemara asks, if we are concerned about transporting the coins, V'yasu Eisen Margolius, let them redeem the coins for pearls, which would be much lighter than gold coins. The Gemara answers, Shema Tazel HaMargolius, the pearls can fluctuate in value, which may cause a loss to the coffers of the Beis HaMikdash. The Darkoine, the gold coins, are a stickable currency, which did not fluctuate, which is why they were used to redeem the half a shekel coins. The Gemara clarifies about the Shefaris. Masnitin b'tiklin chadetin, aval tikin atikin loy bado. One may donate into these kupot only this year's half a shekels. However, if someone somehow did not give over last year's half a shekel, he must come personally to Yerushalayim to donate there, as last year's half a shekel coins went for other purposes, and these need to be deposited directly into these special boxes designated just for them. Amar Yusti Barb Simon, Asi Kaman Do Amar Termin Ala Gavoy Bala Asa Ligvas. This that we learned, that Shkalim lost on the way to Yerushalayim, after the Trumas HaLishka are exempt from giving another Machzah Shekel, goes according to the opinion that when performing the Trumas HaLishka, the Kahanim have in mind also that the Shkalim that will still be arriving. And so these lost Shkalim are considered already in the hands of Hektish. But according to the Tana, who holds that Trumas HaLishka includes only the Shkalim that actually reached the Beis HaMikdash, he would not agree with the ruling of our Mishnah and would hold that lost or stolen Shkalim would need to be replaced by the owner. The Gemara now examines the oath given by the Shliach in the case of the lost or stolen Shkalim. There is normally a rule, einish bo'en ala hekdesh, that once an item is pledged to hekdesh, it belongs to hekdesh, and therefore there is no concept of giving an oath to the one who donated the item, as it no longer belongs to the donor. And therefore, why would we have an oath, as our Mishnah describes? The Gemara brings two opinions. Amar Belaza, Reb Shimon hi. Belaza holds that the oath follows the opinion of Reb Shimon, who holds that kachim shruchai bachriyusin kinechasa v'hein. A hekdesh item that one donated, that one is still liable for, is still considered in the possession of the donor. Since that is the case here by the Machsa Shekel, an oath is warranted according to Reb Shimon. Amar B'yichnan, Devi ha'kol hi. Mishum Shvuas Takana. B'yichnan holds that this Shvu is according to all opinions. And while normally Einish Boin Lahekdish, our case is different, as the Chacham instituted this oath so that the messengers should not take their Shmira lightly. The Gemara strengthens the view of Rabbi Yechanan, who says that the oath is a Takan Chacham, by saying that if it is not a Takana, why would someone need to give an oath to the Gizbarim of the Beis HaMikdash? They certainly are not responsible for replacement of the Shkalim. Rather, explains that Gemara, the oath to the Gizbarim is given to the donors in front of the Gizbarim to exonerate the Gizbarim and the Shlichim from any suspicion of wrongdoing. The Gemara adds, Avapi shekiblu b'nei ha'ir l'shalem, ein hekdesh yetzi l'lei shvua. Even if the donors are willing to forgive the messengers from the oath, as this is takan chacham, they must give the oath in any case. Here for shikli b'avad, the Gemara discusses a case of someone who designated his half a shekel and then lost it himself. The Gemara brings two opinions. Birchin holds that one is liable for his own half a shekel until he hands it over to the Gizbar. Pshimalakash says that once one separates the Machsa Shekel, it immediately belongs to Hekdesh wherever it may be. The Gemara asks on Mishlakash from our Mishnah, where one seems to be liable even if lost after separating it. The Gemara answers, Loi oidhi mishum shvus takana. Really, by law, according to Rish Lakish, one is not required to bring another half a shekel if he loses it. However, just as the oath is a takana, so too the requirement of the Mishnah for the donors to bring a replacement is also a takana, in order that they should take greater care ensuring that their half a shekel reached the Beis HaMikdash safely. The Gemara had said that if the lost half a shekel is found or returned, both shekelim are sent to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara here adds that, Harishoinim letiklin chadatin, v'hashniim letiklin atikin. The first half a shekel goes to the new shkolim, and the second go to the other kupa for tikkun atikin, which are used for other purposes. Which is considered the first? Reb Pinchas ben Reb Chiya and Reb Abba Mari disagree. One says the first to be sent, the other says the first to reach the gizbar. The next Mishnah discusses laws of me'ila, which is the issur to derive any personal benefit from anything that is hektish for personal use as it relates to the machza shekel. One gave his friend his machza shekel to bring for him to the Beis HaMikdash, and the friend instead used it for himself. If the truma halishka was taken already, ma'al, the friend has transgressed the ister of benefiting from hektish. Hashekel shikloi min hektish. If someone mistakenly took a hektish coin and used it for his personal machza shekel, if nisrma hatruma bekarva behema, if the lishka has been drawn upon, and at least one animal has been sacrificed from the funds of this lishka, mal, the person has transgressed the isser of benefiting from hektish. Mimeister sheni v'dmei shviyas yechel kenegdon. If one mistakenly used money that was kedusha shviyas or meister sheni for his machza shekel, he must designate replacement funds for these monies. Man tana im nisma truma. Which tana would hold that it is enough that the lishka was drawn upon even before a carbon was brought from these funds? Reb Shimon hi, the Amar miyad hoyi mekabel mo'isav for kahan mizrizim heim. This would concur with Reb Shimon's opinion, who holds that shkolim money became chulin as soon as the funds are drawn upon, as brought in the Mishnah further on in the fourth parak. There are more questions on the case of our Mishnah. How can one be mayil if he used his friend's half a shekel? Why, ask the Gemara, does it not remain in the possession of the original owner? The Gemara answers that we're talking about a case of misuyim, where the coin had an identifying mark on the coin and the gizbar picked up the coin with the specific intention for the friend, and in this manner changed the designation of this specific coin. Mishel beis Rav Gamliel shahoyi miskaven v'deich v'latecha kupa. Similar to the household of Rav Gamliel, who would push specific coins into the lishka for the gizbar to use their specific coins. The Gemara asks, Manena, What benefit does one get that he can be moil with the machzor shekel? It cannot be for the performance of the mitzvah, as mitzvahs lav lahanas ninu. Performing a mitzvah is not considered hanah. Amr b'avin b'shem rabbanan d'hasam, mekivin shebezin ruin l'mashkin, v'l'mashkinoi k'moshinana. As one will not be bothered by the collectors of the bezin, that is considered benefit. Finally, the Gemara asks, how can one be yoytze the mitzvah of machzor shekel with coins of ma'aser sheni, as we learned from b'char, the firstborn animal, ach b'char asher yevaker lo b'behema lo yakdish isha yisai. And the Gemara learns out, kol shu kodesh in kedusha chalalov. One cannot apply a new kedusha onto something already kodesh. The Gemara answers that one is mechal the holiness of the ma'aser sheni onto another coin, and in this manner the ma'aser sheni coin loses its holiness, and in this manner becomes holy again as machzor shekel.